Welcome to A Thriving Catholic Podcast, a show that's dedicated to helping Catholics live the extraordinary and abundant lives we were made for. I'm your host, Jessica Castillo. I'm a Catholic life and health coach, and it's my mission to bring you the best practices of body, mind, and soul each week and help you apply them in your daily life so that you can truly thrive. Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to the show. So mental health is something that we talk about a lot on this show, and it is a critical aspect of your overall health and just really can't be ignored. And one of the things we talk about all the time is that there's a lot of lifestyle changes that anyone can focus on that are going to make a huge positive impact on their mental health. Things like getting enough sleep, limiting alcohol and sugar, getting movement, proper nutrition, a deep prayer life. But sometimes we can be doing all of those things and we can still really benefit from getting professional help in the form of therapy. A challenge that we run into, though, is sometimes finding a therapist who shares our Catholic worldview and will be respectful of our values. And that's why I am so excited to welcome to the show today Dana Nygaard, who is a licensed professional counselor who balances proven psychotherapy techniques with authentic Catholic spirituality. So welcome to the show, Dana.
Thanks, Jessica. I'm so excited to be here talking with you today.
Yeah, we are just thrilled to have you because there are so many cool things that we're going to talk about. And you know, one of the things, you know, I was just mentioning in the intro, it can be hard to find a therapist that shares our values. And so that a lot of people might hear that and they might wonder, like, why would it even matter? You know, what does it matter if my therapist is Catholic or not? So why do you think it's important that you provide therapy from a Catholic perspective?
Because we look at the world through a very Catholic lens, and what society says is healthy isn't what our church is going to say what's healthy. And our church is based on, you know, over 2,000 years of history of tradition, right? And it's a church that Jesus Christ himself founded. So why would we want to go outside of that? Because then we could get in very dangerous territory. We could have someone telling a couple that they need to invite in, you know, pornography to spice up their marriage, right? We could have someone promoting, you know, a lot of the woke, you know, ideologies now, which absolutely are offensive to God. And so that's not healthy and it's very dangerous.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny as you're saying that there's so many things that can be damaging and harmful if a Catholic or if a therapist recommends it. And a person might think, well, they're a trained professional, so it must be helpful or something good. But yeah, we definitely have to take with a grain of salt if they're recommending things that are we know are immoral or wrong, if they're recommending, you know, a man to masturbate to improve marriage, if they're recommending, you know, I will tell you the very first therapist I ever saw, I remember her basically, I don't know if it was quite that she recommended I should divorce my husband, but it was along the lines of, well, you're still really young and you could start over.
That's what she was intimating. Wow. That's outrageous.
The interesting thing was that she herself had recently gone through a divorce. And so I wondered if that was kind of coloring her. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have to recognize too that our therapists are also human beings and they're going to be bringing their own humanness into our therapy.
That's right. Well, you know, it sounds like that's what we call countertransference, possibly, right? We're not sure. She could say that to everyone. She could have said that 10 years ago before she ever met you, right? But it sounds like there may have been some countertransference. So she's taking her stuff and putting it on you, right? Instead of supporting you and what can you do to build up your marriage, to strengthen your marriage. So, you know, even when someone calls themselves like, I know some therapists that are, they promote themselves as a therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but they won't say Catholic because of some of the people that come to them wouldn't like that. But yet I know them to be a devout Catholic, so I can still refer people to them. And once they know that, hey, we're both on the Catholic train, then they can, you know, chat and talk about that. But there are some therapists that put themselves out there as Catholic, And yet I'll hear repeatedly from people, hey, I used to see Jane Doe. I used to see John Doe. And here's what they promoted, like the Enneagram. Okay. I don't believe in that. I believe in what Father Mitch Paquas says about it, that it's the occult. And so I then, even though they may be really good at different aspects of counseling, I then don't feel safe referring anyone to them because I'm worried about what ideology, what fringy ideology they're going to bring out and give to this person.
Yeah. And I love what you were mentioning too about just all of the richness of the Catholic tradition and what we know about the human person as revealed really by Jesus Christ himself, who is the ultimate counselor, the ultimate
healer.
And he knows the human person intimately because he created us. And so when we are in alignment with this really correct understanding of what the human person is, like what a correct viewing of human anthropology is, that's when we're going to have the best results because we're in the closest alignment with reality.
Exactly. And then we're staying safe. We're in these two lanes, right? And we know if we stay here, we can't get hurt. It's like the Ten Commandments. They're not this finger pointing of you better behave and you better obey me. He's trying to protect us. So if you think about like what radical feminism has done to our world, to our society, and how we have so much brokenness and so much sexual immorality and women with high body counts is what they're calling it now. And they're thinking a man who wouldn't approve of that is insecure. Like what? When you think about the abortion rate, because I volunteer with Rachel's Vineyard Dallas on their English retreats. Once a year, I get to be on retreat. It's fabulous. And when you hear what abortion does, so that's the stuff that's outside of the lane. And so we don't want anyone promoting, like you said, masturbation, those things, because it's their house is not going to be rightly ordered. And then that's one way that Satan and his demons will come in and attack. And there's going to be a lot of spiritual oppression and other types of demonic events.
Yeah. And it's so, I think it's really powerful that you're acknowledging and recognizing that there is some demonic activity. You know, it's not all just in the mental realm. Of course, this has to do with mental health. And of course, those are some of the reasons someone would maybe seek therapy in the first place. But yeah, we can definitely open windows and doors into our spiritual life. And we have to be careful of that.
We really do, because it reminds me of, like, you know, we're taught in grad school and counseling programs to, if someone is self-reporting as depressed, okay, we're going to ask them, when's the last time you had a physical? And I ask every new client that, because what if I'm treating them for quote unquote, what looks like depression, but actually they have really low iron, which can look like on the surface, oh, they're lethargic. They don't want to do it. It's because they're tired. They don't have enough iron. So why would the Band-Aid be, you know, how many months or years of therapy when you just need to go get an iron infusion from your doctor or start taking iron pills, right? So we want to get that out of the way. So if someone says to me, Dana, you know, it's weird, but in our family, when I started thinking about generationally of our family tree, it's filled with whatever the thing is that's painful, divorce, mental illness or whatever. I'll often ask then, is there any Freemasonry in your family tree? Because there were curses put upon the bloodline going forward. And exorcists speak on this in great detail. And so a lot of times people be like, no, there's not. Okay. And they'll come back later and be like, Dana, my mind is blown. I talked to my aunt. She's like, yes, your grandfather was the grand poobah, whatever they called it, of, you know, this Masonic lodge. Whoa. And yeah. So then they can get healing through deliverance ministry. And we have different experts we can send people to, but I am trained in healing and deliverance ministry. I'm not an exorcist by any stretch of the imagination. I don't really want to be a part of that, but we often do get into spiritual oppression. Sometimes we know we're doing something wrong and we know it opens a door. Maybe we're young and prideful and we think, if I want to get my palm read, so what? What? I don't care what the church says. But sometimes we don't realize how it slips into our life. And also demons come in through wounds and traumas. What is part of therapy often is dealing with wounds and traumas.
Yeah, that is so interesting. I never knew that about Freemasonry before. So that is fascinating. And I know we've kind of been like hitting on this and touching on like, what does it actually look like to provide therapy from a Catholic perspective? And some of the things you've mentioned are obviously you're trained in like healing ministry. And of course, you know, the impact of the spiritual realm on mental health as well. But what are some of the other, like, what does it actually look like in practice to be working with someone in a therapy and a Catholic perspective?
So when I first speak with the prospective client on the phone, I explain to them because I want to make sure that this is what they want. If not, there are plenty of other people I can refer them to. So I have a mind, body, spirit approach because that's how God made us. And so in my personal opinion, if we leave any of that out, it's like we have the fullness of the church, right? Doesn't mean there isn't truth, some truth in some the Protestant denominations, but we have the fullness. This is what I call the fullness of Catholic counseling. So for the mind, I personally use cognitive behavioral therapy. Then for the body, there are things that we can do to calm ourselves down when we're anxious during the day and things we can do at night to calm ourselves down, but to help us go to sleep because we don't want to be awake at 2 a.m., right? Ruminating on things. And then for the spiritual side of things, there are litanies, prayers, there are saints that we can ask for their intercession. And because God is so generous that years ago when I prayed and I asked for the 9 Pauline charisms, so prophecy, words of knowledge, discernment, wisdom, and so forth, he has blessed me generously with some of these gifts. And all the gifts aren't because I'm special. I'm just the vessel. And he allows me at times to receive a word of knowledge, which can also be an image. And I may receive something. And the day I was meeting with a lovely, just lovely young man, and we're talking, and the idea of the holy water came up. And I explained that I received an image, and I always ask, does it resonate? Because if not, who the heck do I think I am? How prideful will that be? Well, Jesus told me, like, girl, that would get us in all sorts of spiritual trouble, right? And so he's like, what did you say? And so I explained again the vision I had. And he goes, you're saying holy water. Yes, that's part of the vision, the holy water. He's like, how did you know that? And I'm like, what do you mean? How did I know that? And he goes, driving here, I literally had holy water with me. I never have holy water with me. And I was blessing myself and covering my whole body. And then you just had an image. And I explained the image, which I won't get into now. And that's because I'm not psychic. I'm not a mind reader. That doesn't exist. It's never been proven. The Holy Spirit allowed me. So with those kind of moments, when the client can confirm it, then how beautiful is that? And it can often help them to understand, he really is here for me. It's not just in my imagination. And saying that even gives me the Holy Spirit goosebumps sitting here. So it's so cool to be able to bring in the faith, and anyone who works with me, that's what they're going to get. Like that's it. It's a Catholic faith that's in my intake paperwork. And even when I work with couples, I get a lot of couples who aren't Catholic because they know I'm not going to tell them like you went through to divorce, right? I'm not going to say you need a divorce. And so I'll say, hey, I know that you're, let's say, Methodist, non-denominational, but with me, you get a Catholic perspective because I can't keep in my head, they believe in this and they don't believe in that. And that's not what the Holy Spirit's giving me. And so to see me, they have to sign off on it. And that's what they get. So I don't have to worry about, oh no, I can't say that, which is part of why I'm in private practice. I don't have to have a boss.
Yeah. I mean, but that's so refreshing. It's such a beautiful perspective. And then you get to work with that kind of freedom. Oh. And, you know, like what you're describing is actually something very similar to what my spiritual director has talked with me about in terms of, you know, receiving images sometimes, being able to just work with a client in that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a real gift. And so that's a great blessing for your clients that you're able to kind of have that openness, that connection to the Holy Spirit.
And it's like, amazing.
It's not being psychic. It's just tapping into the all-knowing God. Like
that's
God
right.
Everything. We just kind of tap into that. We plug like a plug into a socket, and then we just channel through whatever it is.
Yes. And it's all to his glory. And even recently, I can't think of the word, but let's pretend the word was prosper. Okay. And I talked with a client and she's telling me about like, you know, topic A, But this word prosper came to me, and again, I'm making that word up because I'd have to look at my notes what the word was. And I jotted it down, but it to me, it didn't fit with what they were saying. And so it's the only time that I can truly multitask. If not, I'm missing out on 50% of something, right? If I'm trying to multitask, but it's the only time that God can allow, that God allows me to be truly present with a person. And yet in my head, I'm speaking to him. And so if he gives me an image or a word, I can often say, I'm sorry, what do you mean? Or what does that image mean? And then with words, sometimes he'll explain it, or, and I'll get like more of an explanation, or sometimes I'll get an image and it's like a movie. Then the projector keeps going and then I see the next scene. And so at the end, I said, and she's very tied into the Holy Spirit, very tied in. And so I said, I received this word again, make believe, prosper. And she's like, no, no, that doesn't resonate. But I received, yes, it does. So I just go, okay, okay. She texts me later, Dana, I don't know what was in my head. As I sat in front of your house and I pray, I always arrive early and I pray and I journal. That word was what she had written down. But in here, it wasn't somehow clicking in her brain. Why would that word have come to me? Right. So to me, this, I'm sitting in my therapy office right now. This is sacred ground. This is holy ground. Right. This is blessed ground. And this room is given to the Holy Spirit. And I always ask him before every session, I ask him to be present. He's the great physician. He's the great healer to give me the words. And the probably once or twice a year, somebody says something to me where I, in my head, I'm thinking, what? Like, I don't know what to say. Like, I've never had anyone say that before. And I'll just very quietly say under my breath. And then the words come to me and they fall out of my mouth and the person has a breakthrough. And I look up and I think, oh, you're so amazing. Wow. He's just so generous.
Yeah, that is so incredible. Like, just, I mean, I also feel like goosebumps over here just because this is just really incredible. And it is the goodness and the generosity of God who wants to heal his children.
Absolutely.
He wants their healing and their good. And I think it's so wonderful that you're allowing yourself to be an instrument in his hands. So you're using this knowledge that you've gained, this training in cognitive behavioral therapy, this training in counseling, so that you can actually provide this service. But you're also just opening yourself up now to be the tool that the Lord wants to use to bring about this healing. So it's just so beautiful. It's really—
Thank you. I'm in awe that I get to do this for a living. You know, sure, occasionally I have a tough day, right? That occasionally happens with things, or, you know, the technology doesn't work and I'm having, you know, a client with telehealth or something like that. But 99% of the time, I'm just in awe that God allows me to do this, and that how sweet and generous people are to allow me into that private space in their head and their heart and their soul that's been wounded, that's been so confused, that's just been wounded so deeply. So I think people have to earn the right to hear someone else's story. Because our stories, right? You've shared some of your things, you know, in your podcast that I've heard. I share some things about me and when I, you know, I'm interviewed at times. And that's a privilege to hear someone's story.
Yeah. And it sounds like you build a great degree of trust with your clients. And, you know, so when they trust you, they know that you're working for their benefit, for their good, that they can't, that they actually can reveal and open up their wounds to you and know that you're going to treat them with respect and with compassion. But I think that that kind of hits on, you know, something I wanted to talk to you about, which is that a lot of times people will feel really, really hesitant when it comes to getting therapy. Like, I know that I have talked to many people where I actually have recommended to them, like, hey, I would love to help you in this way, like as your friend, or as your, you know, even sometimes if it's someone in coaching. But I'll say, like, hey, this kind of comes to the limits of what I can help you with. I really think that you would benefit from seeing a therapist. And sometimes people just really throw up like the, oh no, I don't need to go to therapy. I need to see a therapist. So why do you think it is that people can be hesitant in that way?
I think a lot of it is often shame. And it's a, you know, there's healthy shame, like I should pay my taxes and I should wear clothing when I go to the mailbox and I should be respectful in public and not do gross things on airplanes, right? Like, you know, grooming and stuff like that. I think a lot of it, though, is a toxic shame. It's this internalized shame that if I have to see a therapist, then something's really wrong. But here's the thing. If they the longer they stay stuck in their habits, and you know this as a coach, right, as a Catholic coach, then the more ingrained it gets. And if there is anything attached to that that could be demonic, again, not that they invited it in, but there was a wound. Something happened to this person, and Satan and his demons thought, hot dang, we got a point. Like, let's get in there and let's just push on that, right? Pour salt on that wound. So I think sometimes it's shame. I think sometimes it is the voice in their head, not mean like they're psychotic or anything, but the voice in their head saying, no, no, don't do it. I sure, but my that's not of God, because mm-hmm. God wants their healing and Satan wants their misery, and he wants to destroy the domestic church, right? And he wants people to feel isolated. And I tell folks, when you recoil from something, like you mentioned, hey, I think you may need a little bit of counseling here. And when they recoil, when we isolate, which is very different from that self-care of, hey, I'm exhausted, I've been around a lot of people, I need some quiet. Isolation means Satan is afoot.
Oh, that is powerful. Yeah, I can't remember who the saint was. Maybe it was Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who talks about in his like rules for discernment of spirits mm-hmm. that one of Satan's tactics is he wants you to keep everything secret.
Yes.
Keep it mm-hmm. secret, keep it hidden, keep mm-hmm. it to yourself. Don't share it with anyone. Because
that's right.
And again, it's shame. Like, you should be ashamed mm-hmm. that you're even thinking this or feeling this. And so I think that these are really common thought patterns mm-hmm. that people can become very stuck in, where it's like, yeah, but if I were to go see a therapist, I would have to expose this terrible
right.
thing or this great mm-hmm. shame or this mm-hmm. awful thing. But what I think what people really find, whether they open up to a spiritual director or to a counselor or to a coach or to anyone, even a trusted friend, when they actually share this pain and this hurt and this wound, very often they find that it was not something to be ashamed of at all. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that by bringing it into the light, they can really, really start healing.
Absolutely. Because the therapist for them can, most of the time, depending on the situation, most of the time they can normalize it, because that person, as they're sharing it, and their heads bow because they're like so embarrassed, right? And they sometimes like they can't even look at me. So I've even said before, I'll close my eyes so I'm not staring at you, right? Mm-hmm. That they need it normalized, that they understand it's not just me, because they think I'm bad, I'm nuts, I'm wacky, something's wrong with me, I'm so broken, everyone else out there is okay but me. And I'm like, no, that's actually, I get that a lot. What? And they're shocked. I just thought of another thing I think that sometimes keeps people from counseling. When people have led a life where they're told things like, because in very dysfunctional families, it's like you were saying about the rules of life. Don't tell, don't talk, and don't feel, right? Those dysfunctional family rules. So sometimes people are so put upon by others, so pushed around and manipulated. And in their minds, they think, like, I've had women tell me, some women, obviously not all women, but tell me, I'm a daddy's girl. And I'll say, okay. You know, you and I have been meeting now for 6 months, and you've said that a few times, and I can't remember you telling me a story about you being a daddy's girl. I would love to hear one. And then they go in their silence, because they needed to think they were a daddy's girl, but they weren't. So sometimes I think going to a therapist means they have to see truth. Or I can have someone say, let's say it's an individual client and I'm not seeing their spouse, and they'll say, my spouse does X and such. And it will be absolutely verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, gaslighting, like really sick, and not maybe physical abuse, but a lot of intimidation where they're like leaning over the woman and have her in a corner sort of thing. And when I mention, like, okay, so when you describe those things, that technically is emotional abuse or emotional manipulation, but he's a really good man. Mm. Huh. Or she's a really good woman. I hear that too. And I'll say, okay. So I take their words that they've given me and I say back to them, so what a good man. And then I list the things, right? Because they don't match. Mm-hmm. So sometimes part of counseling is seeing the truth. And most of the time people appreciate it and come back the next time. Every once in a while, someone runs from counseling because they cannot handle that their daddy wasn't as loving as they thought, or whatever the situation is. Yeah. So I think that's another reason.
Yeah. So I think like you were saying, one is obviously the shame, the fear. Mm-hmm. And then again, it's just the fear of facing the mm-hmm. truth and facing reality and knowing like, okay, I've been successfully kind of hiding or burying this thing. Well, now I might have to unearth it and it could that's hurt. Right. This could yeah. be painful.
And deal with it, because relationships may change at that point, right? And then I think also sometimes people get stuck in, okay, I have a myriad of problems. They keep going on year after year, relationship after relationship, job after job, but I don't really know what to say to the therapist. What would I say to them? I can't say I'm depressed because I don't have a thing. I have all these little puzzle pieces, but that's part of what a therapist does. So I've gotten to the point now with these prospective clients, I tell them this on the phone because it's happened so much. I'll say in between your counseling sessions, if you want to keep a little notebook or put a note in your phone or whatever, where if you think of a story, let's pretend the story that comes to mind is I was in the fourth grade and I was in a school play. Okay. And they'll think of it in between and they'll want to tell me, but then when they come in, they'll say, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. I don't even know why I'm telling you this. And they'll give me blah, blah, school play, fourth grade. Okay. What I've told them is if you will write those things down, there's always a nugget there that opens stuff up. I think personally, I don't know, but I think it's Holy Spirit going tap, tap, tap. Here's a part of it, but they don't know it until they share it. And then I'll see something in it. The Holy Spirit will reveal something to me and then their yeah. minds are blown. Yeah.
Yeah. And so sometimes it really does take that outside perspective too, to kind of piece these things together.
That's right.
You know, a lot of times, yeah. So who do you think now, like if someone's listening to this interview and they're like kind of on the fence, or they're hearing it and they're like, wow, this therapy actually sounds like something that would be really beneficial. Well, who could benefit from therapy? Like who would like, what are the circumstances or what are like some of the indicators of a person mm-hmm. who might be like, yeah, therapy could be really, really good for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a wonderful question. So I think it could be of like what I alluded to a minute ago, if there are patterns in a person's life that aren't productive, aren't healthy, keep blocking them from truly receiving, you know, being able to live in joy and abundance, as you talk about, and that thriving that you talk about in your podcast so much, then, I'm the common denominator, right? So let me go get a different perspective. Or if it's someone that has a ton of chaos in their life. Now, sometimes chaos comes and knocks at our door like a tornado, a hurricane. Okay, you can't control that, right? Other than moving to the middle of the country, but then you just have another thing, right? If you move away from hurricane, you're going to have tornadoes or earthquakes, whatever, right? So sometimes it comes to you and then it's really, what are you going to do about it? But it's when people don't realize how much they invite chaos in. And so it's like, okay, in the story you just told me, let's say a client gives me a story and I'll say, why did you feel the need to say X and such to this person? Well, okay, but otherwise things would have been calm. Yes. Right. Or why do you put up with a friend who schedules a, you know, session, not sessions, but like, you know, lunches with you, you know, outings with you, and then cancels at the last minute. And then you get upset and then you don't have any plans and you're lonely. Why do you put up with that? Well, I've known her since, you know, the third grade. We went to, you know, high school together. But you're still inviting chaos into your life, right? Mm-hmm. So I think anytime someone's going through major life changes, like we have Stephen Ministries. Do you know about Stephen Ministries?
Yeah.
So started in the Lutheran church and it's Stephen with the PH, but it's now in a lot of Catholic churches and they are trained listeners, not fixers, listeners. And so if anyone goes through a major upheaval in life, they're an empty nester, they've gone through a death, the loss of a loved one, it's someone who every week meets with them for an hour and journey alongside them so they don't feel so lonely. And then that person knows their thing that they're going through. Hey, how did the doctor's appointment go? Hey, did you move into your new place? So I think part of it is life changes is really healthy to have someone. And then anytime when there is old pain and wounds. It could be a lot of times from family of origin. It could be from school or so forth. And they are blaming themselves. Maybe they have no blame, or maybe they have 1% blame or 80% blame. And so part of it is to figure out, like, okay, how do you stop beating yourself up? So I think when someone has low self-confidence, and I don't mean that everyone needs a trophy. I don't mean everyone every day needs to be told you're so pretty, you're so handsome. It's that they need to know who they are in Christ. So I think those folks could really use counseling. And then with couples, I think the idea of premarital counseling, if there's a yellow flag in your relationship, it's not a green flag, go. It's not a red flag, run and get the heck away. But it's a, we really need to talk about this. You have a very different view of parenting than I do. I think premarital counseling is amazing. So I love doing that with couples. I'm trained in Focus and all the other things. So is my husband, Prepare and Enrich. And, but if there's trouble in your marriage, the sooner you go and get counseling, the better off. But it has to be a really great counselor. If not, I think there are more bad marriage therapists than there are good marriage therapists.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like from what you're saying too, because I think a lot of times people think, well, my marriage is mostly good, so we probably don't need a counselor, or I'm not really depressed, so I don't need a counselor, or I'm not feeling a lot of crippling anxiety, so I don't really need therapy. But what you're saying is, honestly, if you're really struggling with any kind of recurring patterns in your life that you are the common denominator, that you know, it could be that it's you. Or anything that's like really limiting or holding you back. And so, of course, like my perspective as a coach who works with a lot of Catholic entrepreneurs, I'm even thinking about all of the things that some of those like limiting beliefs and mindset things that entrepreneurs deal with that could really be helpful to actually work with a therapist to kind of sort through. Yes, it sounds like there's, it sounds like in this way, when we talk about it like this, it's like, well, who wouldn't benefit from a little therapy?
Exactly. If I was queen of the world, I'd be like, we're all going to see a really good, strong Catholic therapist. Like everyone needs it, and a really great spiritual director.
Exactly. Because you definitely need both. Yeah. Yes. I think, you know, I've become more and more convicted, especially in the last year, that everyone needs a spiritual director. And sounds like, most of us could definitely benefit from having a therapist as well.
I think so too. And one other category I was thinking of is, I think the ordained, I think priests, like, you know, I've been blessed to work with priests and deacons. And like you said earlier, like therapists are people too. They're people too. And if they're arguing with the church secretary all the time, or they're, you know, they have their concupiscence is really strong in a certain area, and they're really leaning towards sin in a certain area, to be able to unpack the childhood stuff is amazing. Because I also use, so CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, is my main modality. But I also will pull in, if it's appropriate, attachment theory, which is all about how did our caregivers attach to us. We then tend to replicate that relationship. So if there's a pastor of a church, that's now like a microcosm of the family of origin. So there's maybe still a pushy older man around. Maybe that was like dad. Maybe there's a nagging woman around. That's like, you know, Miss Church Lady, right? And so that's also that our pastors, our deacons, they also need support. And so I always feel so honored when they reach out, really honored.
Yeah. And it's so great that you can support them in that way. They definitely, I'm sure, benefit from it immensely. I am often thinking about my priest, like sometimes, you know, even just during mass, I'll like say a quick prayer for my priest because I'm thinking, man, he looks tired. He looks having a hard day. This is hard. You know, this isn't easy what they are doing, what they've given their lives to. So definitely they need the prayers of the faithful, but they also need sometimes a little bit of extra support in front of a therapist.
Absolutely. Because that's not what they get in seminary. In seminary, they're getting all the theological perspective and, you know, pastoral care. But it's like, what about you? So to me, in my personal opinion, every good therapist has a therapist, right? Like I'm sure you've gone to different Catholic coaches and you've learned from this one and you've learned from this. So it's the same thing. If not, then how can you really expect someone else to trust you if you don't even trust a therapist yourself, but yet I'm telling people, oh, do all these things. So I let folks know, like the things I teach, especially the couples, it's stuff my husband and I use, and we are blessed with an exceptional marriage, but we still have upsetting moments with each other because we're, you know, every couple has a little conflict. And so I think everyone needs support, including our pastors and therapists.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. This is all so good, Dana. I am so grateful for your time and for everything that you're sharing. Where can people connect with you and learn more about you and your work?
Okay. So I see clients in the state of Texas. So if anyone's interested in counseling, they can go. I have two websites. So it's Christian Comfort Counseling, ChristianComfortCounseling.com. I want it to be Catholic counseling, but I was told I can't use that word Catholic because then it looks like the church approved of it. And I was like, man, okay. So we did Christian. And then I do a lot of when I facilitate marriage enrichment retreats and pre-Cana. And then I do a lot of talks for like the Catholic Daughters of the Americas, moms groups like that. So that website is dananygaard.com. So Dana's D-A-N-A, Nygaard, N-Y-G-A-A-R-D.com. And we travel around the country doing retreats and it's a ton of fun.
Oh, wow. That sounds so awesome. So I'm going to put these links in the show notes too, so you guys can get to them that way. But definitely go check out these websites. If you're in Texas, you are blessed because you can see if Dana has any openings in her schedule for you. So thank you again, Dana, for being on the show.
Thanks. My pleasure. It's been so much fun. I really enjoyed getting to talk with you, Jessica.